Life is an adventure in forgiveness. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean and Founder of the University of Healing in Campo, California, editor of the GIST magazine, coming out monthly to all of those who are inspired by its wonderful words that everyone here on campus contributes in one way or another to writing, and president of the Absolute Monastery, president of God Unlimited, University of Healing, and I don't know what else we got. University of Philosophy. University of Philosophy, president of that. And what that means is I am good at sweeping the floor. Because the president has to be able to sweep the floor, has to be able to do the most menial as well as the most beautiful things. Our theme for today, life is an adventure in forgiveness. This is the word given by Norman Cousins, who was dying of cancer, and he laughed himself well. And it's a very wonderful story if you ever take the time to read it. It'll give you a lot of good things for illustrations if you ever want to talk about laughter, healing, and doing great things. And it does. But he says life is an adventure in forgiveness. Now, what does it mean to have forgiveness? Well, number one, I share and teach and say that we never forgive anybody anything because we always hold it in our heart forever and ever and ever. We may put it away and forget it, but we don't forgive it. And we cannot forgive another person for something they have done to us. If somebody has said something mean about us, we can't forgive them because that's them that did it. Now, we can be untouched by it, which would mean we're living in what might be called a state of forgiveness. We're untouched by it. We don't let it bother us. We don't let it have a bunch of gall in our body, which is causing us to be poisoned and so forth. We just let it go and say, hey, that's your opinion. No problem. Do you know that you are not a nice person? You know, as far as I'm concerned, I'm a pretty nice person. I enjoy myself. Now you can say, hey, agree with your adversary quickly. You got some suggestions for being nicer? I'd like to know that, you know. And right away the person loses all their power. But don't forgive them for saying you're not a nice person. Don't hear it as a threat or a challenge or meanness. Hear it perhaps just as hey, you forgot to tie your shoelace. Don't trip over that, you know. Oh, thank you. And you bend down and tie your shoelace, and a goat comes along and butts you right in the butt. But the thing is, always take everything how you mean it. Can you understand that? Take everything how you mean it. If somebody comes up to you and says, boy, I'd love to marry you, and you think to yourself, that's an interesting person. I don't know if I would want to be married to that person. That would be quite an adventure. But what do you say? You don't say, what kind of a klutz do you think you are thinking that you could marry me, the wonderful me, my God? I mean, you know, you say something like this. You say, thank you. You honor me very greatly with your desire to be living with me and associating with me and so forth. But anyone who lives with me and associates with me doesn't get much of my time because I'm a very busy fellow doing all of these wonderful things. And though I think you're a wonderful person, I have many other friends who are wonderful persons too. And I would make a terrible husband because I'd never be around. And I wouldn't feel any guiltiness about not being around. I don't owe anybody my presence. I go there because I like to go there. I don't go there because it's my wife or my family or something that I gotta go. There are duty calls that you make, but those are just things of humanness and society, but they have nothing to do with feeling guilty if you don't do it. That was very interesting. When my sister was passing, we were at a restaurant and I told the group, I'm hurrying now to go up there to be with her, because I knew it was an important moment. And two or three people just wanted to slow me down. And they slowed me down, and they slowed me, and I still got there. And I would have been there in perfect time, except the last person slowed me down by wanting to be taken someplace and wanting to do something different, you know. And so I missed her last words by just a matter of a couple minutes. But it was my fault. My fault. Not anybody else's, even though they were the reason that I was late. I was the reason I was late because I didn't say, sit, I'm going in there now. You know, I am driving this car. I am the boss. I am the pilot. I am making the decision. I'm going to do this. Now, if you want to do anything else, go ahead. But I am here. I am not, I don't say, my sister is dying, and if I don't get in there right now, she will die without me seeing her, and so forth and so on. You know, that's not very nice. I just say, hey, see him. I'm going in. And then Ellen was walking with me, weren't you? And I said, come on, let's move along. And Ellen usually tells me to move along. She says, come on, Herb, hurry up. But this time we moved along, and we got there right at the moment, virtually, that she was checking out. And, you know, you could be very unhappy with somebody for slowing you down, for causing you to miss that precious moment. But, no. If it were to be in my consciousness that I wanted to be there, nothing could stop me. Nothing could stop me. I have oftentimes gone to meetings and to organizations and programs, especially where I'm an officer, and I'm always there on time or well before. And I set things up and make things all in order, and it's wonderful. It's really fine. Now, I was watching the movie Rookie last night, and as he went to the major league, he went into the locker room before everybody else was there. And he had just been signed on with the major league, just been signed on that very day. And he drove in that very day, he flew in. I mean, he hadn't even said yes, except in the morning, then he flew in. And when he got there, his locker had his T-shirt with his name on it and his number. Now, you see, somebody prepared that. Somebody planned ahead. Somebody made sure these things. There's a chain of command. The boss who bought him as a member of the team, bought him to be on the team, he had to tell his secretary. And his secretary had to put the other things in motion to tell the seamstress to sew up his jersey so it would have his name on it. The number is no problem, that's always there. But sew his name on the jersey, and probably several of them, and put the special little medallion there, and the special this and the special that, all to go along with it. Now, the movie was a Catholic movie. You probably didn't realize that. But the movie was a Catholic movie, and he was a Catholic. And he was a very devout Catholic. And he, as you notice, the nuns dropped rose petals on the field and so forth and blessed it. Well, he wore this special little medallion saying that the saint of good works or something like that was there. And then every time you saw him in a bedroom scene, there was the cross standing on his bed, said, you know, next to the bed. And when he was on the telephone talking to his son, the cross was in the background, representative of his faith. And I thought, very tastefully done, very tastefully done. And everything was, there was a certain pizzazz to it. But of course, that was the man's life, too. There was a pizzazz to it. Now, there's nothing to have forgiveness in that. His wife was trying to protect him because she knew that when he was turned down or when he'd throw his elbow out or something and he couldn't pitch, that he was just, you know, very sad indeed. And she didn't want him to be sad. Now, was she forgiving him? No, there's nothing to forgive him for. Was he forgiving her? No. Does he forgive her because she loves him so much? Does she forgive him because he loves her and he loves baseball so much? You know, is that some crime or some shameful thing? No, but you see, this thing about forgiven and forgiveness is something that is misunderstood by a lot of people, because we think it's something that we have the privilege of doing. And no one can forgive us, not even ourselves, because we have done what we have done. We can stop doing it. We can put a new cause in motion. We can go a new direction and live a new life, but we cannot take whatever has been done in the past and say it's not been done. Mm-hmm. Now, we might have been blamed for things in the past that we didn't do, and that stands for what it is. We didn't do it, and we were blamed. But we took the punishment for whatever it is. Many times in our family of five, and I know in your families too, you got blamed for something your sisters or brothers did. And I didn't do it, is what all you'd say. And then say, yeah, I heard that before. And then you get the spanking. And whoever was really guilty, they say, thanks for not turning me in. You know, thanks for not, you know, talking. And that was reward enough. That was reward enough. That not that it was right to do it or not to do it, but we just said that we didn't do it. We didn't say who did it. And this is what I tell all of you here in the monastery. Whenever you do something wrong, tell me about it. Whenever you do something right, tell me about it. Whenever anybody else does something wrong, don't tell me about it. It'll come out. Whenever anyone else does something right, don't tell me about it. It'll come out. You just live your own life, be yourself and have fun, and live in that purity that you are, because that's what it's all about. And that's what perhaps Norman Cousin means in life is an adventure in forgiveness. We live by taking all of the experiences of the past and filing them away in a vault. Steel, concrete, stone, you can't get into it at all. this is not true, but it would be fun. Can you imagine taking all of your memory that you want to file away eternally, you know, without interest, and just run a demagnetizer over it so that it would cease to have ever happened? Wouldn't that be an experience? You know, people say you cannot even kick a grain of sand without disturbing the total universe. And that's very true. But is there anything wrong with disturbing the total universe? Mm-hmm. Is there anything wrong with erasing the past so that it never was? Mm-hmm. You know? Is there anything wrong with erasing the future so it never was? Because that can be done too. You see, this everyday life is an adventure of forgiveness. It's quite interesting if you look at it from this novel point of view. Mm-hmm. And from that point of view, it's rather rewarding and lots of fun. Well, my friends, another wonderful instant inspiration brought us a few ideas and some nonsense, but generally, it's a lot of fun. I love to talk with you, I love to share with you, and I bless each one of you every day of my life. I love you, I love you, I love you.